So we're calling the meeting to order. I just want to make sure everybody got the read-ahead materials that were sent by Vicki on Friday.
Yes, I looked them over.
Great. Okay. So the first order of business is to approve the minutes. Are there any discussions on approving the minutes?
We should make a motion first. I looked at them and they seem as I remember, so I'll move we adopt the minutes.
All right. It's been moved, and I'll second that. So any discussion about the minutes?
This is Josh. I had there's one typo, which I'll mention, but I had a substantive question about part of them, and I'm not sure if this is the time in the meeting to discuss them or if we should discuss it later. But it relates to the in item 5. Is on page 5, the second to last, the substantive paragraph about unclaimed property.
Yep.
The typo was just the second to last word, I think, should be statutory rather than statute.
Yeah, I saw that.
But the substantive question, I guess I was curious to know the sort of background on the third-party audits and who was audited in the past and exactly and what that entailed. Like this mentions refers to an audit of the program. And so I'm curious, was it the program that was audited or was it entities that collect unclaimed property? I just wanted to know sort of background there.
Josh, it's Jonathan. I'll try and give you a background on it. The unclaimed property audits that are referenced refer to an audit or audits in plural that were taken by third-party auditors retained in the past by the treasurer or potentially by the Department of Revenue now that it's transferred to revenue. And those audits were of businesses, accounts, as it relates to unclaimed property to make sure that they'd all fully reported the unclaimed property. The third-party audits were done on a multi-state basis. So states would get together because businesses are all over the place, and the third-party auditors would conduct the audits, and states would each, enjoy the fruits of that audit in proportion to the unclaimed property that was discovered in each state. There was now I'm going to give an anecdotal thing that is accurate, but I'm not sure. Years ago, not too many years ago, one of the treasurers conducted a third-party audit or participated in a third-party audit of Menards over their gift card business, and that resulted in an award to the state of quite a large amount of money. I think it was more than $2 million, and that led to a political discussion within business community and WMC that led to a bill last year that was introduced that repealed the right of the state to participate in third-party audits. The state could still do audits if they had auditors, but they don't have any on staff. Does it make it any clearer to anybody?
Commissioner Cole, is that clear? Does that make
sense? It does. Thank you. And I guess the last question I had.
Let Josh finish, Doug.
Yeah, I did. Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, you mentioned there was a transfer from the treasurer's office to revenue. Do you mind?
I can actually clarify that. So basically, the statute has now been split. And so previously, the unclaimed property program was under the complete auspice of the state treasurer. I think it was 4 years ago. That responsibility has been DOR basically processes and helps administer it because it's built into the tax system. But we are still responsible for promoting and the unclaimed property program and reuniting people with their unclaimed property.
Mr. Attorney General, I'll provide a contemporaneous summary of the unclaimed property statute that was amended last year. There's quite a body of literature on it. I can give you an abbreviated version of it.
Okay, that's helpful. And then, Sarah, only if that's something you already have together, please feel free to send it to us, but don't worry otherwise. And so, Sarah, were you, just in reference to this last sentence on the minutes, were you referring to an audit of the program or of businesses?
No, it's actually a clarification with regards to statute. So, to your point, it's a couple of things. One is, I guess, yeah, clarification of statutes and what does that actually entail with regards to, like, responsibilities with the Unclaimed Property Program. But it should say, is seeking legal. We haven't got it yet. Josh, we're connecting with your team tomorrow, actually, on some of this stuff.
Okay, and it wouldn't be an audit of the program. It would be an audit of the company.
Unclaimed property.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, this is Doug. The reason I brought it up at the last meeting, and the minutes may not have included everything, but I am concerned about it because I don't think the revenue department is doing their job properly. And the question is, when was the last audit done, and shouldn't there be audits done to make sure that it's done correctly? As Jonathan just pointed out, there could be a lot of money hanging around out there that should be in the school trust. So can we do an audit? Can we ask for an audit? Can the treasurer ask for an audit?
And I think that's what we're hoping that we get guidance on within the law and within our scope of responsibility.
But we can ask the Attorney General's opinion.
Which is why we're meeting with the Department of Justice tomorrow on some of this stuff.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, and Jonathan, so just to make sure I'm correct in the background and can spare you having to send anything. There used to be third-party audits done of businesses. In the last session, the legislature passed legislation that prevented, at least purports to prevent Wisconsin from participating or from utilizing the results of those third-party audits. And there is authority now related to unclaimed property. The taxing authority is under DOR. But Sarah, you were saying that you still have authority to promote the unclaimed property program.
Yeah, so just to clarify, Josh, and again, maybe it would be better to kind of take this offline, but the essence isn't taxation with regards to unclaimed property. It's
oversight.
It's really that what has happened is the Department of Revenue built a whole new taxation system, and so they have all these Social Security numbers that they can then naturally run against unclaimed property that has been turned into the state. So they've tried to make the system more efficient in uniting people with unclaimed property based on what they know and people's Social Security numbers. But that's the only connection to DOR is simply from a process perspective. They're not involved, and I think, to your point, one of the challenges, because when they split this statute, there's not clarification on who's auditing this, why, all sorts of things have been kind of unfortunately fell through the cracks when they split this statute into two between the Treasurer and the Department of Revenue. And so that's what I think needs clarification. There's actually no taxation associated with unclaimed property.
Okay. And then the other question I had was, it says that there's been a decrease in receipts for the unclaimed property program. Is that something we can find out from DOR?
Well, so that goes back to when this responsibility split, like who is supposed to be doing that. DOR doesn't necessarily believe that they should be, and so it doesn't fall under our purview. But in addition to that, there's been legislation that has made it difficult for third-party auditors, which is naturally who we would go to help do this. So that's why we're trying to think through what's the bigger strategy into helping ensure we're getting the revenue that the common school fund deserves based on this strong connection to unclaimed property.
Has the BCPL taken a position in the past about who should be tracking the unclaimed property receipts?
No, because really BCPL doesn't have any authority with unclaimed property besides they are simply the benefactor of the proceeds that are made from the unclaimed property program. They're simply the benefactor.
Or the school.
But DOR is administering that?
Well, so this goes back to they're like running the process associated with the unclaimed property program because when Wisconsin changed its tax system to this new tax system, they could build a module onto it. It's what the software person sold them, was this new unclaimed property module. So they said, okay, great, we can now find owners of unclaimed property by identifying them with their Social Security and tax ID number. So they then took on that responsibility of the unclaimed property program, and that's where they have this kind of process-centric part of unclaimed property. The treasurer then has this promotional piece, but as a result of this split in statute, it's not really clear who is really getting into the oversight, because it's just recently happened, and so I think clarification is needed with regard to third-party audits or audits in general.
Can I take a crack?
Okay, so nobody, neither you, Sarah, as treasurer, nor DOR, nor BCTL has taken a position as to who should be tracking unclaimed property receipts. So far, just to make sure we're on the same page.
I'm not aware of any. Josh, the legislature 5 years ago transferred the whole program from the treasurer's office to the Department of Revenue.
But the
oversight under Constitution remains with the treasurer.
And the statute actually was split. So this is where there's, again, it goes back to legislation, and do they really understand what it means sometimes? So they changed the language of it from the treasurer's office to say the treasurer will promote the program and DOR will, I can't remember their exact administering language, but it's not oversight, it's more processing specific. So this goes back to they split this statute in half, and I think as a result things have fallen through the cracks because of that.
Okay, this is Doug. I've lived through all this, as you know, and that's why, in my opinion, we as a board should seek out a couple of legislators, hopefully one of each party, to introduce legislation to change this and put it back the way it was. I would be very interested in doing that if the two of you would agree.
Doug, I think it goes back to what was said in the minutes, is that we're asking DOJ for clarification now. I mean, it might actually be covered currently. I think if it is not, then we need to maybe go seek legislative approval to get that clarified.
Well, I'm saying more than clarified. I'm saying to get the whole thing out of revenue and get it back to the treasurer.
No, I appreciate it. I guess I'm just trying to get, what's the quickest way to get money, potentially more money, back to the Common School Fund? But I'm not against that. But how about this? Can we put this as maybe an update on the next agenda based on my conversations with the Department of Justice, and I can provide an update on that? And Josh, I'm happy to figure out how you want to best work that as well.
That makes sense. The other question I have, I guess, is I know, Sarah, you'd mentioned that you'd spoken to Secretary Barca. I was just curious if we know what DOR's position is as to what falls within their purview.
I think based on my conversations with Secretary Barca is that he's just kind of drinking from a fire hose. And so I think if we kind of come to him with some reasonable ideas and further definition, I think that they're amenable to it. You know, the reality is that the unclaimed property program is like a very, very, very minimal program in their large portfolio. You know, their primary mission at the Department of Revenue is to collect taxes. So one would argue this doesn't even really fit under their mission. But so I think what it goes back to is it's kind of a clean slate right now, and we can talk about it once there's something to talk about based on what we think.
Okay, this is Doug again. Just to be repetitive, I would like to request an item on the next agenda to discuss the idea and have Tom do a little research of introducing legislation to restore the program to the way it was for 50 years or whatever. Part of that is because of my experience, but also what Sarah just said, it gets totally lost over there in revenue. In the treasurer's office, it didn't get lost. It was taken care of by different treasurers. And so I would like to have that as an agenda item and have Tom look into some of the language we might have to have, and maybe we can think about some legislators that might be supportive. Thank you.
So, Sarah, I thought your idea of sort of figuring out where things stand exactly in light of the recent legislation and what the DOR's position is are probably important first steps. So I thought that approach made sense.
Yeah, we'll take this along step by step. I can't imagine that Peter would have any objection to us taking that away from him. I mean, if so, I'll talk to him. All righty, thank you.
So I think what then, just kind of to recap on the discussion from the minute, is that we will have on the agenda just kind of a recapping on where unclaimed property is and with regards to the revenue stream, and we can continue to be providing updates on that.
And some ideas from Tom about legislation that would restore it.
Yeah, I mean, Doug, I would rather save Tom.
Okay, stop. I withdraw my idea.
Okay.
Not happy about this. Go ahead.
So are there any other conversations? Because I think that this is a good one, since we're all on the same page with how can we get the most amount of returns from unclaimed property to our benefactors.
Yeah, and get property back to people who've lost it.
Right. Yep. Amen.
Yeah, I called the question.
Okay. Is there a second?
This is Josh. I second. And just to clarify, so we're correcting that typo and making sure that the audit reflects whatever you were talking about, auditing, not the program, but the...
Yes, the minutes reflect the changes. And we have, in addition, captured the kind of follow-up at the next meeting. And, Doug, you called the question?
Yes.
And I second.
Great. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
You don't have to second that.
Okay. Great. Well, then we're going to move forward.
Sarah, we had a motion and it was seconded. Then we discussed it. The call for question means that you then call for the vote. That's all it means.
Okay, that's what I did, but I'll call the vote again. So all those in favor, say aye.
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 Great. It's approved. So we are now moving into the loans, which have been outlined. Rich, do you want to take us through those loans, please?
Sure. You know, these, because we, later on in this meeting, we're going to talk about interest rates, it's likely that these three loans may come back before the board in the future again, because these communities may not need the money immediately and have time to have their loans approved at a lower rate in the future. These are three pretty standard loans. One is for the construction of a public safety building, which includes room for fire trucks and offices and things like that. One is for Lake District for a weed abatement program, and the final one is for the Village of Twin Lakes to purchase a fire truck. And they total about $7.3 million.
Rich, would you indicate that the Outagamie loan is probably going to be a construction loan?
Yeah, it's a two-year loan. It's a construction loan. They plan on building their public safety building using Board of Commissioner or Common School funds, and then we'll go to public bonding to issue bonds to pay us off after the construction is complete. These loans have been approved for public purpose by the Department of Justice.
Anybody want to call to approve the loan?
I move that we approve the loan.
I second. Is there any discussion on the loan? see no discussion. I guess the loans are...
We got to call the question.
Anybody want to call the question? Okay. I'm going to call the question to approve the loans. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, Doug.
Great. The loans have been approved. So, seeing there's no old business, jumping to new business, we have a conversation about potentially lowering our interest rates through the State Trust Fund Loan Program. Rick, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, you know, since the last time, we changed our rates last in October of 2018 when rates were about 0.5% higher than they are today. Rates have really come down since that point in time. And they have stabilized at lower levels, and so to maintain our market share, it makes sense for us to lower rates. And so we recommended that we reduce the rates across the board by 0.25%. The board in prior board action had allowed the executive secretary working in conjunction with the board chair to make that change between board meetings, which was done, and the new rates went into effect yesterday, and this action calls for board ratification of that change.
So just to kind of follow Rich, and the feedback that we've been getting, as you all might be aware, the market has been really competitive with interest rates. I mean, a two-year treasury is actually at a 2.4, and so that's kind of a good benchmark on how much higher we want to be on these treasury bonds. And so I think dropping it at a basically by 0.25% is just allowing us to still stay competitive, just based on where the market is going. And it doesn't look like this is going to change anytime soon. And then I guess I would just follow up by saying we did have a long conversation, too, about the investment meeting, is making sure that even if we do drop these rates, ensuring that we still have a viable return. I think part of it goes into this conversation about demand. By lowering it, we also may be keeping our demand up maybe a little bit higher, since they are probably going to go elsewhere because these rates are considered a little high. So that's just kind of a recap on some of the additional conversation we had at the last investment meeting.
That makes sense to me.
So we, Rich, have to approve the...
We have to vote on.
So the proposed resolution is, reads as now, therefore be it resolved that the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands ratifies the changes to the BCL State Trust Fund Loan Program, with the annual interest rates to be set at 4% for two-year-long loans, 4% at 3 to 5 year loans, 4.25 for 6 to 10 year loans, and 4.5% for 10 to 20 year loans. Is there a motion?
I move.
Second? I second it. Any discussion? All right. Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the proposed resolution to lower interest rates, say aye.
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 Aye, Doug.
Great. The motion carries. All right. And then moving on to routine business. Jonathan's report.
Yeah, I just have one thing I'd like to share with you, and that is the conclusions from the recent Legislative Council study on our funding mechanisms and our investment policies. We had a multi-month exercise, rather like a very severe exam. But at the end of the day, the Legislative Council essentially ratified what the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands has been doing, as you can see by their recommendations at the bottom. And they also recommended the adoption or the forwarding for legislative approval of two bill drafts. The one bill draft.
The fact of the matter is these products have been in the U.S.
Can somebody
market.
Put their phone on mute, please? We're just getting some feedback. Thank you.
The one bill is Assembly Bill 48 relating to promissory notes of certain public bodies. And the other is the authority of the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands to delegate authority to invest trust fund monies in trust fund monies. I'd like to suggest that we take no position on Assembly Bill 48 because we have no dog in that hunt. That bill would allow banks to have go to 20 years on promissory notes instead of the current limit of 10, and it doesn't directly affect VCPL, and I don't feel that we should take a position. It may have effects in the banking community, and that can be discussed there, but we don't have an impact on it. The second bill, however, I think we should support, and staff recommends that we support it. It is a permissive, not mandatory allowance that would permit the current or a future Board of Public Commissioners, Land Commissioners, you all, to decide if you wished to have SWIB invest part or all of our money on a contract. Meaning that if the bill stays the same, it's not amended, it's entirely benign, and it may actually lead to a situation where a future board could say, well, we don't have the expertise for this particular type of investment. Maybe we should contract with SWIB for that. If it's cost-effective, you might choose to do that. So I think that bill is, and staff recommends that we support it, but take no position on the first one. I'd be glad to answer any questions on the recommendations and these bills. And I don't think it seems that we didn't schedule this for action today. I would defer to the chair whether it should be scheduled for action, in the future. But we're going to be asked constantly about what our position on this bill is by legislators. And I don't, as you know, we don't proceed without guidance from the board on things like that.
So I think for today, if we can maybe just clarify any questions,
right,
and if it seems appropriate, we can take a vote, but I'd rather probably in the next meeting.
Fine.
So, Jonathan, I guess just with regards to Assembly Bill 49, what precludes VCPL from working with SWIB now to invest?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a key point. We are permitted to let SWIB invest our money, but SWIB is required to invest any VCPL money in fixed income instruments. SWIB is not allowed to exercise prudent person investing authority. Hence, it doesn't make any sense for SWIB to be managing anything for us if they can't manage it. So this will allow that to be invested as a prudent person would make the investment. It still, however, is important to note that it's permissive, and it's still dependent on the Board of Commissioners' decision whether to move forward with any arrangement with SWIB in the future or not. I can hardly object to that. That's our point of view.
So if I understand it right, what the change is, SWIB can invest now, but only in fixed income.
That's correct.
And so really what this does is just that basically say, SWIB, you can do it under prudent investment authority.
Yeah, there's a little background on this. When the BCPL achieved or was granted by legislation prudent person investing authority, and that occurred with the Bucks Arena desire for us to lend them, the statutes were amended, but they slipped up and didn't amend this section of the statute to reflect the change to prudent person. And so it was an obvious one to miss because it isn't so obvious to catch it, but now we're catching it. We're going to try and make them both the same.
So if anything, it's more administer. If this kind of just slips through the cracks.
I think so, but you'll find legislators who we've been working with are going to sort of be surprised that we would let a bill like this go through. But it's rational. It's responsible to have that authority as long as the board's in charge and not mandated to do something.
Doug or Josh, do either of you have any questions about this?
I don't, and it makes sense to me. I would be comfortable voting now or waiting till the next meeting, whatever you prefer.
Okay, Doug, how do you feel?
The same. I'd be glad to make a motion that as a board, support these two. Support the first one. I'm sorry. Support the second one and oppose the first one.
Not oppose it. Just take no position on the first one, Doug.
Okay.
So there's a motion to, Doug, you made a motion to support Bill 49.
Right, and to take no position on the other one.
And to take no position on Bill 48. So I second that motion. Any discussion? Okay, see none. All those in favor of supporting Bill 49 and staying neutral on Bill 48, say aye.
Aye, Doug.
Aye, Josh.
Aye, Sarah. So the motion carries.
That's really the end of my report today, unless you have questions on the actual conclusions of the Legislative Council Study Committee, which are listed below these two bills.
Yeah, I guess my only just follow-up question, Jonathan, was the last bullet under recommendations, where it says that the legislature will further study issues relating to investment of funds in consultation with beneficiary groups once the results of changes become available for study.
Yeah, I'll be glad to explain that. We, as you know, we only in late 2015 received legislative approval for prudent person investing authority. Then in 2016, staff with Rich's leadership, we developed an investment asset allocation model and investment plan. And in 17 late and in 18, we started investing under that prudent person rubric. So the issue really is the legislature, we made a real strong case that we're really well underway and we're doing things correctly, and they agreed with us, but said that they'd maybe like to revisit this in the future after we've had a few years. And I don't know if you recall how long they said, I think the implication was a few years of actual experience, and then we might expect them to take another look at it if some legislator asks for it. But I think we came through this Legislative Council study very well and learned some things in the process.
I thought the recommendations were great in our favor, so that's positive. Any other questions, I guess, about the joint session that happened at the end of the year?
None for me.
Oh, I should tell them about that.
Yeah, so the other thing Jonathan's going to mention is our legislative what are we calling it, Jonathan?
It's just a freshman briefing. We've agreed, and you're aware of this, Doug, on March 27th, that's a week from tomorrow, I believe, is that correct, Vicki?
Yeah.
We're hosting a legislative meeting at 8:30 in the morning in room 330 Southwest in the Capitol, and we've invited every newly elected legislator, both Assembly and Senate. There are 15 Assembly persons and one state senator that's newly elected. And we've already mailed them an invitation. We'll provide coffee and light sweet rolls. And we plan on providing a briefing. I've also contacted some legislators that are not freshmen if they would be willing to speak on their experience with BCPL, and I've gotten some replies back. So it's a short meeting between 8:30 and 9:30 on the 27th in room 330 Southwest. You're certainly invited to attend, and we can't post a meeting on that, but it might be interesting.
Jonathan, do you want to maybe just share with the commissioners the agenda for that day?
Well, the agenda actually hasn't been written out at this stage, but the agenda is very simple. We're going to have a couple of legislators that have experience in dealing with BCPL. One of them is Rob Swearingen, and I hope Joan Volwick, that will be giving a little talk to the legislators about how they like BCPL and how it's worked for them. And we would Sarah, as the board chair, would make a presentation. And then we'd have a very short PowerPoint that would outline, if we can possibly do it. Tom's really puzzling how I can do it in a short period of time. But have an explanation of the history and how BCPL is operated and how they, as legislators, may access or assist their local communities in accessing the financing tools that we offer. And then, of course, an explanation of where our earnings go. Basically, an educational effort to try and get these freshman legislators aware of what we do.
This is Doug.
Yep, Doug.
This is Doug. My only thought is, and I see no reason why we shouldn't send an email or something to all the current legislators saying we're having this event for new legislators, but they are most welcome to attend if they would like, or send a staff person.
It's a hearing room. I don't think we'd be overcrowded, but our intention, Doug, was to follow up with a communication to every legislator that would explain the loans in their district and the annual distribution to the libraries in their district, you know, to coincide with the WIMTA event on April 1st, approximately. I just don't think we... It's important to be able to talk to people and answer questions in a very, very large group. I don't think would be conducive to that. So that's our thinking.
Well, my response, although I will let you do whatever you like, my response is I doubt if very many would come, but it would be a good PR to invite them. But you do whatever you think you want to do.
No, Doug, I think that's a good point. And one of the things that Jonathan talked about with me actually on Friday was his approach to getting people to come. So, Jonathan, do you want to maybe just give an update to how you are proactively encouraging people to participate?
Well, I've delegated Gary Goyke to make contacts, and I imagine he'll make several contacts. But myself, I'm calling every legislator that's invited, and I'm underway in that effort, and we're going to be sending out an email reminder at the latter part of this week, Thursday, Friday, and we're going to, of course, have the event on next week, Wednesday. So I think that, you know, the contacts I've made so far are not that numerous, but folks are aware of the invitation and have got it on their agenda.
So, Doug, I think to your point, when I talked to Jonathan, because I had the same concern that people weren't going to come if it was just an email, but the hope was between office visits, a phone call, and an email to these freshman legislators that they would be interested in coming. And then once this first one is done, then the second thought was we would follow up and do maybe a staff briefing or to certain key members to just, again, tell people how many loans we've provided their district as well as how much money we have provided with regards to their public schools. But that was kind of then the second phase after these freshman legislators, and we did our outreach to them.
Doug, this is Jonathan. It's interesting. Vicki hand-delivered our invitation. And included within that was the listing of all the loans that have been made in that person's legislative district for the last how many years?
5 years.
5 years. And for the last 5 years, what the distribution of library aid has been. And that really attracted interest. I think a lot of folks said, whoa, there's a lot going on here. And so I'm thinking we'll get good attendance of freshman legislators and some staff from their offices. At least I'm hoping so.
Doug, any other thoughts about this?
No. I mean, and again, the idea that sometime after that, we can't hand deliver it, but we can deliver that same information about the number of loans and the dollars to all legislators.
We will do that.
That's a good point, Doug. Yep.
With InterD, we actually can hand deliver it in a sense. It's just, I found the hard copy is treated a little bit more reverently than an email.
Right.
Well, actually, if you can't physically do it, you can have the paper copy delivered by the pages. The pages would do it.
Well, we'll get it done through InterD.
Oh, InterD mail. Okay. It might be more effective to have the pages do it, have them walk in and hand it to them. But again.
All right.
Good discussion. Any other, Doug or Josh, any other future agenda items?
None for me.
Okay. Doug?
My only future agenda item is I had to withdraw. I mean, I can talk to Sarah privately about whether she really wants to get this responsibility back to her office or not.
Yeah, and Doug, I would love to sit down with you and let's talk about this, so thank you. The only other future agenda item that I would like to put is something that we talked about last meeting with regards to the looking at our land and other possibilities for revenue generation with our land. As I mentioned on the last call, I had a phone conversation with a few land boards from the western states, and, for example, New Mexico was able to generate $250,000 off of a bird, which I went to their public schools. And so I would like to continue to kind of look at, are there other revenue options? And what was recommended for us is to do this U.S. wildlife study. I know the last one we did was over a decade ago, so I think with climate change, it might be worthwhile to do that. But I would like to kind of put that on the agenda for us to follow up with. Okay, well, if there's no other agenda items or announcement, is there a motion to adjourn?
But just one clarification. This event for the freshman legislators is the 27th?
The 27th at 8:30 in room 330 Southwest.
Right. All righty. Thank you very much. I move we adjourn.
Look forward to seeing you there.
Seconded by Josh. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. The movie or the motion carries and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.